Welcome back to Spanning the State. I'm Kristen Bry.
I'm Brian Noonan, and we've all heard on the campaign trail, President-elect Trump promised to lead the largest deportation effort in U.S. history. Now, shortly after the election, he announced that Tom Homan, former acting director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or do you call it ICE, is his pick to serve as the administration's border czar. Homan said in an interview that he would prioritize deporting people who threaten public safety or pose risks to national security. But he also said that anyone in the country illegally is, quote, not off the table. If this comes to fruition, how would mass deportations and ending of DACA and other programs affect Wisconsin immigrants? Sophie Carson is a reporter with the Journal Sentinel who writes about, among other things, immigration, and she's in studio with us now. Hi, Sophie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, as you talk to experts, immigration officials, attorneys, what is the overarching concern that these people all seem to have in common?
Yeah, the overarching concern is that the mass deportation efforts that President-elect Trump may carry out in the next term will be much broader than his previous administration. The thinking is that, you know, they tried this the first time, and now with this second time, they have a little bit more practice under their belt, a little more knowledge about the legal system, and they might be able to carry it out more effectively, so to say.
So the priority, at least according to the incoming administration, even according to Senator Ron Johnson, is that the focus is going to be on undocumented people who commit crimes, which I think was already the case, right? Like, but the Biden administration right. was also deporting undocumented immigrants who were committing crimes. But as the plan becomes more clear, is there thoughts that this will come in waves, or is it kind of going to be a shotgun approach?
It's a lot of that remains to be seen.
Okay.
You know, a lot of these officials, advisors are saying different things. So while Senator Ron Johnson says, you know, he thinks that a nationwide, you know, dragnet is unrealistic, other people like Stephen Miller or Tom Homan are saying this is possible, you know, no matter who you are, if you're undocumented, you're at risk. So in general, they do say that they're going to prioritize these initial you know, people who have committed crimes. But there's also this concept of workplace raids. There were some of these during the Obama administration and some during the first Trump administration. Experts told me these were fairly detrimental to, you know, smaller businesses who might have relied on undocumented workers. But in general, a lot of it remains to be seen how logistically a mass deportation effort would be able to be carried out.
Well, and as you've mentioned, deportations are nothing new. Republican administrations, Democratic administrations, they've all happened. What is it about this proposed plan, other than the scope, that is different from what we've seen before?
Yeah, I think the scope is definitely the biggest thing. The cost of this would be very, very large. According to, you know, think tanks and experts who have estimated this, it would be about possibly $315 million.
That was billion.
Billion.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. $315 billion to deport, say, 13 million undocumented people who live in the U.S. right now. So the cost and logistical efforts would be huge. That also includes the workforce needed to do this. The National Guard.
The judges. Because, I mean, isn't that part of the reason why we're in this case, the situation as we are right now, is because of the backlog in court cases, because we don't have enough judges, because we don't have enough resources in our immigration system to process people faster? And so, technically, anyone who gets rounded up, and they still get due process, right? And so, wouldn't this just also backlog our court system?
That's quite possible, yes. The Trump administration, however, is hoping to do something called expedited removal, which would eliminate the need for due process. It would be able to quickly deport someone without a court hearing. They would sign a document, and they would be put on a deportation flight back to their country within, you know, a couple days. But that is likely to face legal challenges. Generally, it's been used, like, very close to the border, like people who, you know, cross the border seeking asylum, they've been able to be removed quickly, or people who have been in the U.S. for a short amount of time. But the Trump administration is hoping to expand that to the interior of the country. But a legal expert told me that is likely to face challenges because she believed it didn't really follow the letter of what that rule really was intended for.
What the people you've talked to, what have they said would be the effect here in Wisconsin? Other than, I'm imagining, workforce for the agricultural community is going to take a big hit. But what else would it look like if this plan got carried out here?
Right. There's a lot of interesting predictions and reporting on the effect on different industries. Dairy, of course, is a big one. I would encourage listeners to read my colleague Rick Barrett's story in the Journal Sentinel today. I thought that was a really interesting story about how the dairy industry really needs year-round farm workers. And then also there are, you know, effects on the construction industry. You know, there's a portion of people who are undocumented who work in construction, roofing, that kind of thing, hospitality, things like that. There's also the like sort of personal effect on people who are in mixed status families. These are families who maybe have a citizen of a child who's a child and an undocumented parent, or one spouse is a citizen, the other is undocumented. This kind of thing would have a big impact on these families as well. And any workplace, really, that may be subject to a raid that employs undocumented individuals.
And so what is the thought of what will happen with DACA or Dreamers as far as people who, you know, a lot of these people have it's not just working in the shadows, right? A lot of these people have gone to college and then they have also have white collar jobs. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that even DACA and Dreamers would be deported?
That's definitely a possibility. DACA is up. Is coming to the Supreme Court in the coming year, and the Trump administration wants to end it. So the, you know, federal government would not sort of defend it in court, is the thinking. This would affect people who are, like you say, young children who came to the U.S., you know, as young children. Now they're young adults. They are working. If they receive DACA, they are able to work legally, stay here legally without the threat of deportation. And so the thinking is that they should reapply for their 2-year work card now so that they at least have status through 2025, knowing that it might be unclear after that.
When you speak to these immigration attorneys and other people, you quoted in your piece said they're preparing for the worst. They're hoping that things don't get that bad. Is anybody giving you the idea that maybe we're worried too much? Maybe there's no chance this is going to happen? Or the people you talk to thinking something is going to happen at some level, so we have to be ready?
It's a tough question to answer. I think both things are true in these immigration attorneys' minds at the same time, right? They want to be prepared, but they also think that it is logistically quite difficult. I think this is what many people look at these proposals and think, how are they going to do this?
Right.
You know, how is it possible to do this in 4 years? So it's like balancing that fear with also seeing the practicalities of the situation. But I'm working on another story about DACA recipients. And, you know, I had one person who told me today, you know, my parents won't really believe it's true until it happens. They've been here, say, 20 years. Like, they, you know, they've been living, like, in the U.S. with the threat of deportation for 20 years. So that's one perspective, definitely.
And then finally, at least for me, what... So we have red states, we have blue states, we have Democratic governors and Democratic attorney generals. And so what does this mean as far as states' rights? And so the independence of any given state on what they want to do versus what the federal government is doing. And what have we heard from Attorney General Josh Call or Democratic Governor Tony Evers on what Wisconsin, what they can do and what they will do?
Yeah, that's a good question. In Wisconsin, Josh Call has said that, you know, he doesn't think this idea of National Guard from other states coming into Wisconsin would happen. He said that. He didn't think that that was a very likely thing. But no matter what, whether we have a Democratic governor or not, there is the possibility that deportations happen in Wisconsin. and at what scale, we don't know. But there are ICE officials and CBP, Customs and Border Protection officials, who are able to work in the state of Wisconsin. Generally, that size of that workforce is not huge. So that's something to note. But they are able to, CBP officers are able to board vehicles without warrants and search for people within 100 miles of a border. And that includes the Great Lakes coastline. So that's something to be aware of.
Definitely. Well, you can read more on this story and all of Sophie Carson's work at jsonline.com. Sophie, thanks for coming in, and thanks for, well, painting another dark possibility for the country. But it's very interesting stuff. So thanks very much for being here.
Thanks so much.
All right. When we come back, there's more. It's Spanning the State.